If you have your Bible, why don't you grab that? Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Today is Mother's Day, so we're going to talk about a mother. We're going to look at a Canaanite woman, Canaanite mother. Matthew 15. The title of my message is The Heart of a Mother. Matthew 15, I'll pick up in verse 21, and we'll go through verse 28. Verse 21 reads, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" Verse 23, "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Verse 25, "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the child's bread and throw it to the dogs.' And she said in verse 27, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." Interesting story, interesting conversation that Christ has with a Canaanite woman. We don't know her name. We don't know how old she was. We don't know much about her other than the fact that her daughter was being oppressed by a demon. And maybe this morning, Mom, you have thought that same very thought. Maybe your child is being oppressed by a demon. I'm sure that I have thought that about my children a time or two. When their head spins around backwards and vomit comes out of their mouth 6 feet and they call themselves Legion. That's a joke. Missionary Gary Phillips told me yesterday afternoon, we were talking, someone in our congregation said about his jokes that, well, our pastor doesn't tell very good jokes, whatever, we don't laugh. I was a little hurt by that. That wasn't a joke. Jesus withdraws to the district of Tyre and Sidon. In Mark chapter 7, verse 24, his intention here is to be hidden. It's interesting, if you read the Gospels and you read them very, very carefully, how Jesus really, really valued his seclusion, how he really valued his time with his disciples. Because Christ comes to the earth, and he comes to earth for the main purpose of going to a cross and dying for the sins of his people. But he's also spending the next 3 years of his ministry really preparing these 11, there's 12, but Judas is not really part of the 12, these 11 men for the work of the ministry. That's his goal. So when you read the Gospels and you see the Sermon on the Mount and you read Christ's conversations, understand a lot of what's happening in those conversations, Christ is having those conversations with people, but his main audience is his guys. He really wants his disciples to learn the lessons that he's trying to teach the people. Especially when he talks to the Pharisees and he talks to the crowds. Because don't be misunderstood by the crowds that Jesus attracts. The crowds that are attracted to Jesus are not really there to worship Christ. They're there to get what Christ has to offer. When Christ feeds the 5,000 and he leaves on a boat and crosses the Sea of Galilee, the crowd follows behind him, expecting him to feed them again, expecting him to do a miracle for them. So the lesson we learn in that is they're not really wanting to worship Jesus, they're wanting to get from Jesus. So don't let the crowds of people that follow Jesus cause you to believe that those crowds are really worshiping Jesus. So possibly they're not. They're just there to get what their sinful hearts desire. So Christ withdraws himself to the district of Tyre and Sidon. He wants to be hidden. In verse 22, "Behold, a Canaanite woman." This is a a Gentile woman. She finds out some way, somehow, she hears a rumor that Christ is in town, and she finds where he's at. And she goes over to him, crying, verse 22, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Son of David is a pretty big term, pretty big importance name. Because David, King David in Israel, his prophecy that his kingdom will have an everlasting kingdom. That's Christ. Her saying Son of David, she is representing a form of religious teaching. She has just enough understanding of Jewish culture and Jewish teaching. "Have mercy on me. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Verse 23. But Jesus did not answer her. I find this very interesting. I find this very curious in my head why he doesn't answer her. Why he doesn't respond to her. His disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He doesn't answer her, but he also doesn't send her away. He doesn't tell her to go away. He does say a pretty, what we can think of as a heartless comment. I'm sure if Christ was to say this now in our such a political correctness culture, he might get lit up on this one. Verse 24, he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he doesn't answer her cry for help. And his reply to her, his answer he gives her is, I wasn't sent here for you. I wasn't sent here to answer your, fix your problems. I was sent here for the house of Israel. Well, we might think that Christ is ignoring the Gentiles, but he's not. Later, the Apostle Paul goes to the Gentiles. God's plan was always to go to the Gentiles. And just at this moment in history in Matthew 15, the gospel has not been fully open to Gentiles just yet. But what he does here in verse 23 and verse 25 is he is testing her. He's really wanting to test her. To really see if she's really genuine or not. To see if she really means what she's saying, or is she only here to get her felt need met. Does she really truly worship Christ, or is she really here for her own selfish desires? It's important that we, when we come across or we have a new convert, someone that comes to Christ for the first time or the only time, we kind of just take a step back a little bit and we evaluate, we watch. For my own children, I have the personal conviction of I am slow to baptize children. I am slow to bring children into the baptistry waters because I want to really evaluate what they've said. My own son Wyatt, when he made a profession in Jesus, we were living in Texas, and he wanted to get baptized. And I said, let's wait a little bit. Let's just see. I want to watch. I want to evaluate. My other son Warren made a profession a few months ago, and we're still just waiting and watching. Testing. Just make sure they understand what they've said, what they believe, before we make a rash decision. Here Christ is testing her to see what really is inside of her heart. Verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 25, but she came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. She comes again. In verse 26, Christ answers her. Again, this is not a political correct comment to make, but Jesus makes it. Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs? He uses an illustration to take bread from your children and throw it to the dogs. So I want you to imagine if your family was hungry or on the verge of starvation, which most of us here have never literally experienced that level of poverty. Who would you feed first, your children or your dogs? Your children, of course. So Christ is referring to the nation of Israel versus the Gentiles. And the word dog was an insult that Jews would throw out to Gentiles. You dogs, you inferior people, you less humans. This was an insult. So in a way, Christ is insulting this woman by calling her a dog. But this girl's got some moxie. She's got some fight. There's some fight in this dog. Verse 28, and she answered her, or verse 27, she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She's pretty quick-witted. You're right. You're right. You're here for Israel. You're right. Us Gentiles are considered dogs, but even the dogs sometimes find a crumb. I remember when Cassie and I first got married, we had to do a little test drive of being parents. We bought a dog. That's what some people do. You buy a dog. You get married, you buy a dog. If the dog lives, maybe we can have a child. We did forget the dog a couple times in places. That was a bad start. But we had a dog, and they don't have a dog anymore. It's Lord has removed it from our house. But when my boys were younger, Wyatt was sitting in a high chair, and Warren was in a high chair, and they would drop food. Our dog would eat the crumbs off the floor. Now, I've noticed that Whitney, my little girl, our floor gets a little more messy than it used to when we had boys. When the boys were little, we had a dog. The dog was our little vacuum cleaner. So I can picture the dog eating the crumbs, eating what's there, the leftovers. Verse 28, Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith." Isn't that an awesome phrase to be heard? For Christ to tell you, "Oh woman, great is your faith." Or, "Oh man, great is your faith." Here, a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, goes through a series of conversations with Jesus. And at the end, Christ praises her. "Great is your faith." Her daughter was healed instantly. Today's Mother's Day. I want to take this text, and this is probably a different text you've ever heard on Mother's Day. And there are three things I want to apply it with. There are three things I want to show you, I want you to notice from this text about this Canaanite mother. And three things that I think stand out about her that we can apply to our mothers today. One is this. Her helplessness. Her helplessness. Her helplessness. Now, that it is an encouragement in itself that you are helpless. That may not sound like an encouragement, but it is an encouragement because you are helpless, and so am I, and so is she. I try to imagine sometimes what's between the lines of the Bible, the backstory of the Bible, of what she kind of went through before this happens, because not everything that Jesus does is recorded in the Bible. And not every conversation is recorded in the Bible. What God wants us to know about is in these pages. So we focus on these pages. But I like to imagine, I like to think about what this woman went through before she got to Jesus, before she got to where Christ was. Who did she take her daughter to for hoping that this other person, this other organization, this other thing would help fix her daughter's problem of this demon oppression? But all she has done has not worked. Now she's at a point of complete helplessness. She can't. Yeah, buddy. That's awesome. That was an amen. That was his version of an amen. He's like, "Yeah, mom is helpless." That's right. Yeah. She's at a complete loss of what to do. And she comes running to Jesus. Why is it that when difficult times come in our life, that usually for us, even us born-again believers, usually for us, our last resort is Jesus? For me personally, for me, when things happen and when my first reaction is to go to my app on my phone and look at my bank account. Okay, how much money do I have in the account? What's here? What's there? Can I afford this problem? My first reaction. My son swallowed a quarter a few months ago. So my first reaction is, can I afford him swallowing a quarter? That's the wrong thing to do, really. My first reaction to say is, okay, God, take care of my child and take care of this problem. But our first reaction sometimes when life gets difficult, when problems happen, is we try to fix it ourselves, especially us men. Us men, we try to fix it ourselves. We have a problem, we're going to fix it. But why is it that when difficult things happen, usually Christ is always the last resort? We try everything else. We go everywhere else we possibly can go. And when those things don't work, now I'll turn to Jesus. When I am completely helpless, I will turn to Jesus. But that should be the flip side. Our first reaction should be going to Jesus, to nothing else. Look at what it says in verse 25. Verse 25, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Her first request in verse 22 is, oh, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. This long, drawn-out speech. Oh, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. This long, elegant prayer she gives. And he ignores her. Sometimes in your prayer life, God's going to say no. Sometimes in your prayer life, God's not going to answer. It doesn't mean that God's not there. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It's just God is not ready to give you the answer just yet. He ignores her. Then she comes back in verse 25 with this simple, simple request. Lord, help me. Moms, motherhood is a difficult task. What you do every day of your life is a difficult task that I honestly, as one of these individuals, your husband doesn't truly understand. We just don't. Our brains aren't as quick as that, possibly. We have filing cabinets in our brains. We can pull out the filing cabinet, pull out the work list, do that work, put the cabinet back away. We can simplify life, and sometimes we miss out. We miss on what you do. So give us grace when we don't understand. But what you do is a difficult task, and sometimes in your task of raising children and keeping the house and putting up with your immature husband, sometimes you get moments of just helplessness. Helplessness. I want you to understand you're not alone in that fight. You're not alone in that. But here you have a Canaanite woman who is helpless. So my challenge to you in that point is run to Jesus. Run to Christ. Run into his arms and rest in him. Just admit your helplessness for all of us, even myself, for all of us this morning. Just admit it when we are helpless and say, I can't do this, Lord. I can't do all this. I can't do all that is expected of me or... I just can't do it. I can't spin all these plates at one time. Just can't. Run to Christ. Run to the gospel. Run to the cross. Here's what can happen with that. Here's what happens when you do that. Sometimes the plates will fall and they'll crash and they'll break. They will. Because you can't do everything. You just can't. You can't be perfect at everything you do. It's impossible. But when you run to Jesus and you run to the cross, what can happen there, what does happen there, is your mind and your heart gets focused on the important things of life. It focuses you on the important things of life, and you see the true value in what's really important. And the exterior things that are not as important, they fall away. So often we get so focused on the exterior things, the truly unimportant things of life, And we miss the important thing, that's Jesus. Run to him. Number two, her helplessness. And number two, her persistence. Notice her persistence. She comes to Christ asking for help. He ignores her, doesn't say a word to her, and what she should have done or what she could have done is walked away. Even the disciples say to Jesus, send her away because she's bothering us. And I'm sure the disciples weren't like private with Jesus. I'm sure they said to Jesus with her presence, hey, send this woman away. I'm sure their comments about her to Jesus were public and she heard them. She could have left. She could have walked away and said, you know what, I tried. But I'll notice her persistence. She comes back. Lord, help me, in verse 25. Then Jesus gives this line about bread thrown to the dogs. And she comes back with this quick wit of hers in 27. Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Just one obstacle after another obstacle after another obstacle. She persists. I truly believe she was not going to leave Christ alone until she got what she wanted. She was going to stick around. And maybe, this is not good theology, but maybe Christ just said, sure, to get her away. Said, yes, babe, whatever you want. That's what husbands do sometimes, right? Her persistence. So my challenge this morning for moms is persistence. Keep praying for your children. Keep fighting the fight. Keep doing what you're doing. I know in moments and there's times when it's difficult and you're helpless and you think that no one appreciates this, even your children don't appreciate this, maybe your husband doesn't appreciate it. You take care of your kids. Hey, mom, I have a project due at school and it's due tomorrow morning. And it's like 10 o'clock at night. It's bedtime or it's past bedtime. My children just have this great memory of things that have to happen at 9 o'clock at night. Oh, I forgot. I have to do this. Or I have cupcakes tomorrow for a party. And keep at it. Keep being persistent. Maybe this morning, mom, you have a child that's away from the Lord. A child that's made some poor decisions. And you're praying. And you're begging God to return that child back to Jesus. Keep being persistent. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Lesson for all of us to keep persisting on. Number three, notice her faith. Notice her faith. Son of David, she says, Lord, here's a woman of great faith. Now, she might not be the most educated faith person in the world. She may not be able to give you, memorize the books of the Bible in order or have a lot of scripture memorized. She may not know all the theological positions that she thinks she should know or someone else knows. She may not be a PhD in Bible terminology. And that's great and that's okay. But she has faith and she knows who is in charge of her life. Time to go. Like somebody's child has the remote control of the car. Keep persisting. I'm going to keep persisting. Her faith. Mothers do influence their sons and their daughters. One of life's greatest blessings is to have a godly mother. One of life's greatest blessings is to have a godly mother. And God has blessed me personally with a godly mother who I value and I thank her for her sacrifice. So, thus, one of the greatest gifts, mom, that you can give your children is to be a godly mother. Mom, your faith in Jesus is the greatest lesson you can teach your children. It's the greatest lesson to teach your children. I can imagine, again, I can imagine this Canaanite woman having conversations with her daughter years later about her time with Jesus. I'm telling her daughter about the ordeal, telling her daughter about the demon oppression, and telling her daughter about how she went to Jesus and what Jesus Christ said to her and what she said back to him, and smiling as she relives it. I can imagine her passing on her faith to her daughter. Mom, your greatest mission field is your home. Your greatest task that God has called you to is your children. To love them, to cherish them, to raise them. As your pastor of the church, of this church, as a husband and as a father, my greatest task is my children and my wife. So me and my wife together, we minister every day to 3 depraved individuals. And we beg God to have mercy upon us when we fail, and we thank God for the victories. Mom, you're not perfect. You're going to have some bad decisions. You're going to make some bad decisions. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep the main thing the main thing. And trust God to take care of the rest. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for moms. Just the gift of a godly mother, the gift of a loving mother. The comfort that mom always has. Pray, Father, for grace, for mercy in all of our mothers' lives this morning. If you give them grace to be persistent in their task. Well, thank you because of it. Christ, we pray. Amen.